It's my pleasure to be your speaker today. Appreciate Elton for asking me to bring forth a portion of God's Word this morning. It's great to meet everybody. I've heard about some of you, and I've never met you before. And for those, I'm happy to meet you. And it's great to see old friends that I've known all the way back from when I was a little boy. And some great friends that I've met over the years. A couple of my great singing friends here today that I've sung in quartets and choruses with. And lots of singing just wherever we could find opportunity to sing. And it's just my pleasure to be here and worship with you, along with my family and Sister Leanne DeFrance, Brother Clint DeFrance's wife. We're all from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we bring the blessings and the prayers of the congregation there at 11th Street along to you this morning. And we pray that you've had a good year and that next year will be even better in your service to God. I want to go ahead and read as a text from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, to introduce what I'd like to preach about today. You might want to just keep your finger there, because we're going to be studying quite a bit from the 10th chapter of John this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I want to talk about Jesus as our shepherd this morning in a sermon I've entitled, "His Sheep Still Hear His Voice." Brother James, please pardon my ADD. I wasn't paying attention. Is this the time to go to prayer? Okay, thank you. Please humble yourself while we pray to God. The pastoral setting, or the idea of sheep and a shepherd, is probably one of the most popular comparisons found within all the Bible, both Old and New Testament, between the physical world and the spiritual world. This was used on several occasions by Jesus and by the apostles within the epistles and by many of the Old Testament prophets. And so we're talking about being a sheep within the flock of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. So I want to start by asking you this question that every one of us have to answer within our hearts. Do you want to be one of Christ's sheep? There are very few people in this world that would say no to that question. I think we can still say that. The majority of the people within this community would say, "Oh yeah, I want to be one of Christ's sheep." But so many people would only do it on their own terms instead of submitting truly to Jesus as their shepherd and leader. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus tells us, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus would say, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." But surely I can be a member of any old fold that I want to be a member of, right? I can be a member of any flock. There's a lot of different churches around us that teach a lot of different things. Surely I can pick and choose where I want to go, what I want to be a member of, and I can still claim Jesus is my shepherd, right? That's what a lot of people ask, and that's the way a lot of people think. But may I remind you that Jesus says here in John, the 10th chapter, that just as surely as we have one Savior, there is one sacrifice for our sins, Jesus Christ, just as surely as that fact, our shepherd has only one fold. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So I ask you again the question, do you want to be one of Christ's sheep? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to have to learn to do. If you want to be one of His sheep, you have to learn to hear His voice. And that means more than just having a good feeling in your heart toward the red letters in your Bible. That means you have to listen. You have to heed. You have to obey what your shepherd tells you to do. If you're not doing that today, you cannot truly claim that He's your shepherd, because you're not following Him unless you're listening to and you're obeying what He would have you to do. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So for a few minutes this morning, I want to discuss with you what it means to be one of Christ's sheep. I want to discuss with you what the Scriptures say about how we can be a member of the flock of God, how we can gain entrance into that flock. And I also want to consider some characteristics that sheep have in a physical sense that I think could clue us in as to why, out of all of the animals on the earth, the Lord picked sheep to compare us to as Christians. First of all, the typical sheepfold of Jesus' day consisted mainly of a high stone wall that enclosed an area. And of course, the purpose of this stone wall was so that the shepherd could lead his flock into the fold at night, and there it could be safe from predators and safe from storm and from the cold. And usually, it just makes sense, this fold had only one door, one gate, leading into and out of it. Made it a whole lot easier to keep track of your flock. It's interesting what Jesus says as He paints the picture, the pastoral picture for us in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's a story told about a man named John. There was a revival tent meeting going on in his hometown, and his wife tried her best to get him to go. And he just wasn't a religious person. He didn't have any interest in it. But she finally nagged him enough, and they went one night. They went in, sat down at the back of the building, and he started listening to some of the things that were being said. He observed what was happening, and every once in a while, during the course of the worship service, someone would stand up, and they would give what they called their testimony. They would stand up and say, "I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me." And they would recount what they believed the Lord had done for them to save their soul, and how He had taken them away from sin to a better life. And then that person would sit down, and another person would randomly stand up and "I want to give my testimony." And so it went across the building, and John just got caught up in the service. He wasn't a religious person. He didn't really know what was happening, but his emotions got all caught up in the service, and all of a sudden, much to his wife's dismay and surprise, he stood up and he said, "I want to give my testimony." He said, "Tonight before I came to the service here, I was out behind my house in my barn milking my cow, and somebody came up and tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around and looked, and it was Jesus Christ Himself. And He looked at me and He said, 'John, you don't have anything else to worry about. I know you're a good man, and I have saved your soul.'" Well, when He did that, just like several people had done with some of the other people that stood up and gave their testimony, there were a few amens across the crowd, and an older man stood up in the front and said, "Hallelujah, let's take a vote. Who votes to vote this man into our church? All in favor, say aye." And so they voted him into their church right there on the spot, and they praised God on his behalf. Well, when they were walking back home that night, his wife looked over at John and said, "John, I know good and well you just told those people a flat-out lie. First of all, we don't have a barn. We sure don't have a cow that you were milking. And I know good and well that Jesus did not talk to you." And she told him, "You need to go back tomorrow night. You need to tell those people the truth before they figure it out for themselves, and it gives you a bad name." Well, she convinced him. They went back the next night. And once again, during the course of the service, John stood up. But this time he said, I got to make a confession. Last night when I told you that Jesus saved me, I was not telling the truth. I don't know what came over me. I don't know what happened. I just got wrapped up in the emotion of the service. I don't have a cow that I was milking. I don't have a barn. Jesus didn't talk to me. He didn't tell me I would be saved. There were a few rumblings throughout the crowd, and all of a sudden that older man stood up in the corner and he said, "I make a vote motion to vote this man out of our church. All in favor, say aye." And so they voted him out of the church right there on the spot. Well, John and his wife got up to leave, and as they were walking out the back of the tent, John's wife turned around and said, "Some church this is. You tell a lie, they vote you into it. Then you tell the truth, they vote you out." Well, I'm happy today to be able to tell you that I don't have to rely on you for my salvation. Now, if it came down to a vote, I hope there's at least a few people in the crowd that know me well enough and love me well enough that you would vote me into the Church of Christ. But the fact of the matter is, friends, my salvation does not depend on you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved," or those who were being saved. If I am to be added to the church of Jesus Christ, to the fold of my shepherd and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Lord is going to add me to that fold. And I am thankful for that. How do we get into that fold? That's the most important question that we could ask today. And the Scriptures tell us, God did not leave us to wonder how to get into that fold, where there's shelter and where there's safety. Jesus says, you're going to have to go through me if you expect to be saved. And Jesus says, I'm the door. So the next question we got to ask naturally is, how do I get through the door? How do I get through Christ, how do I get into Christ? Scriptures say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so if I am to get into the fold of God, I've got to be baptized into Jesus Christ. There are a lot of different messages that you'll hear. There's a lot of different answers that you'll get to the question, what must I do to be saved? There's a couple famous preachers, Billy Graham, Joel Osteen. You probably have heard both of those names. They have followings. People revere them and look up to them. Mr. Billy Graham has passed away. Joel Osteen is still out there preaching on television and in a humongous church with an occupancy a little more than that 82 here. Several thousand people listen to him every day. Both of these men who have followings throughout the world and people revere them, both of them were interviewed by Larry King, the famous interviewer, TV show host. And Larry King asked them both the same question. And they both gave Larry King the same answer to that question. The question was, I'm a Jew. I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you think I am going to make it to heaven someday? Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, both looked Larry King in the eye and they said, that is not for me to say. I'll let God be the judge. My message is a message of hope. My message is a positive message. And you do what you need to do to get closer to God. I want to give you a biblical answer. I don't want to mince words. I want to tell you the truth. I want to love you enough to share with you God's Word. Jesus says, I'm the way. And no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man shall go through me, you'll be saved. You cannot find salvation through any other name. There is no other way into the sheepfold. There's no way to find a weak point in the wall and break your way through. There's no way that you can find a place in the wall that's good for climbing and you climb through a different way. Jesus says, I am the only way. You gotta go through Him. The Scriptures teach, John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, I'm the Son of God, you're going to die in your sins. Jesus says, repent or perish. Jesus says, you must confess me before men. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's how to get into the fold of God. That's how to get into the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know everyone here. If you've never done that, I encourage you to do what the Lord would have you to do. Don't try to find your own way to salvation. Don't find your own way into the church. It's not find the church of your choice. It's not go through the cafeteria line and pick the church that fits you. You line your life up, you line your doctrine up, your way of thinking up with God's way, and then you can find salvation. Then you can find shelter and safety within the fold of your shepherd, Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Finally, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ the door. As many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. So keep those things in mind. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to sing a song. We're going to offer the gospel plan of salvation, the gospel call. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward and to obey the gospel and to be added to the fold. What a glorious opportunity. And I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity and give your life over to Jesus Christ. Follow your shepherd. For a few more minutes this morning, I want to talk to everybody else. I want to talk to the sheep. Have you ever wondered, out of all of the animals on the earth in God's creation, why would God choose sheep to compare us to? I can think of a lot of other animals that I'd rather be compared to than sheep. Maybe a lion, the king of the jungle. No, that's not what God chose. Sheep. Let's talk about some characteristics that sheep have that I think can clue us in as to why God would choose sheep. Number one, sheep are very loyal to their shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 4. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Sometimes several shepherds would use the same fold at night. When they left to graze their flock in the morning, each shepherd would go stand at the gate, stand at the door, and the shepherd would call his sheep. What's amazing, well, first of all, it's amazing to me that the shepherd, it said, knows each sheep by name. I can't tell sheep one from another, but the shepherd loves his sheep so intimately that he can tell the difference and he gives each one a name. What's even more amazing to me is that sheep understand the voice of their shepherd. And so the shepherd would stand at the gate and he would call his sheep, and those sheep would file out of the crowd and go out to pasture with him. But you know what would happen if I stood at the gate, and even if I knew their individual names and called their individual names, do you know what those sheep would do? Nothing. Because they don't listen to the voice of a stranger. They only know the voice of their shepherd, and that's the one they'll follow. By the same token today, we, as members of Christ's flock, amid all of the doctrinal confusion of this world, we listen to our shepherd and Him alone. We're not carried about with every wind of doctrine, as the Apostle Paul would put it in Ephesians 4, verse 14. We don't follow after man's word or man's wisdom. We have no creed but the Bible. We aren't deceived by false teachers. We shouldn't be anyway, because every word that we hear, both outside this pulpit and in this pulpit, we compare those words to the everlasting word of God. We listen to the voice of our shepherd. We are loyal to our shepherd and to Him alone. So that's what it means to be one of His sheep. It's not enough to just call, just to claim that you're a sheep. It's not enough just to say, I love my Lord. You got to hear and obey and be loyal to His word. Number two, very quickly, another characteristic that sheep had, especially in Jesus' day, there's a few parables about this actually, is that sheep were very valuable to their shepherd. Remember the parable of the 99 in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Jesus said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." That in no way diminishes God's love for the 99. It only focuses and illustrates for us how much God loves the erring Christian. That one lost sheep who has wandered aimlessly away. Listen, you are valuable to your shepherd. God loves you, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you've done in the past, God loves you. You are valuable in His sight. And if you've strayed away, now obviously you're here today worshiping God, but if you've strayed away in your heart and you're not being loyal to His Word, my message today to you is, the message of the gospel is, you're valuable. And God wants you back. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your all. And He'll do whatever it takes to bring you back to the fold. He'll go out searching for you. He will bring hardship. He will bring trial into your life. He will wake you up. He will bring a pig pen to your life. And when you've finally gotten so low that just like the prodigal son, you say, "Okay, I'm finally ready to set aside my evil desire, to set aside my own think-sos. I'm ready to submit myself to you." That's when God can make a change in your heart. And that's what He desires above all. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The shepherd loves you. He loves you so much that He would lay down His life for you. John 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, so even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." That's what Jesus did for us. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You are worth the life of God's only begotten Son. In fact, you're worth the death of God's Son. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. He cares. You're valuable in his sight no matter what's going on in your life. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul gives us the warning in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what that means? If you're a faithful sheep and you stay within the flock, you can guarantee that the wolves are coming, that the devil is looking for you. He's looking for a way in to your heart. He's looking to snatch you away from the shepherd and from the fold. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the warning is, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Praise be to God, we're valuable in God's sight. We are on His radar. He knows your name. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. And there is no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So no matter who you are or what you've done, you're valuable in God's sight. And I hope today that that realization will motivate you to be loyal to your shepherd. Love Him because He loved you first. Number three, and lastly, another characteristic that sheep have, and we don't like to talk about this much, sheep are almost totally, utterly helpless. Out of all the sermons I've preached, I've gotten in more trouble over this sermon than any other sermon. Invariably, there's an elderly lady that will come up to me at the end of the sermon, and she's pretty upset with me about this point, and they'll say, well, I raised sheep, and I'll have you know that sheep are not dumb creatures. They are not helpless. They are very smart creatures, and they are in certain respects. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that God compares us to sheep because we're dumb. That is not my point. But sheep are pretty helpless creatures that in most cases rely totally upon their shepherd to shelter them and to protect them. Did you know that, for example, sheep will sometimes lie on a hillside with their head facing downhill and smother to death in their sleep. All of their fluids rush to the front of their body, to their mouth, to their nasal cavities, and they lay there and they just die. Sheep are pretty helpless creatures. And by the same token today, let's not kid ourselves. Without Christ, without the cross, without God's plan to save us, we are without hope. We are helpless. We're hopeless. There's a song that goes like this that I love. The one that I serve, he gives me worth. The only reason I have to boast. For when he determined to rescue me, he had to reach way down low. So every breath that I breathe and every note that I sing are only because of this risen King. Without him in my life, I'd have nothing that you desire. But with Jesus, I have everything. Without Jesus, my song's an empty melody. Without Jesus, my life's a hopeless cause. Without Jesus, I dare not face eternity. So helpless and lost, with no way to cross. Without Jesus. And that's my message to you today. If you're without Jesus, you have no hope. Thanks be to God that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. God gives me worth. But apart from Christ, I got to be honest with you. I realize I'm worthless to you. I'm worthless to this world. I'm worthless to God unless I submit myself to the one who died for me. Maybe there's someone here today that realizes that. That realizes without Jesus, you're living a worthless life. You can make that change today. You can turn your life around. You can live for Christ, the one that gives you worth. The one that loved you so much that he would send his only son to die for you. You can accept that offer of salvation and you can live a worthwhile life in Christ. And you can gain heaven someday. If you've never obeyed the gospel, submit yourself to him. Gain entrance into his fold where there's shelter and safety. There's one more characteristic of sheep that I'll leave with you. Did you know that sheep are so helpless that sometimes they'll stand outside the fold at night, out in the wind, the rain, the icy weather, the cold, and they'll stand there and they will freeze to death standing up just a few steps outside the fold if they don't have a shepherd that will come and take them and guide them into the fold where there's warmth. It's pretty sad, isn't it? But that happens every day in a spiritual sense in this old world. You have people that know the truth, that know where the fold is, And yet there they stand, helpless. The shepherd's calling for them, but they turn a deaf ear. I want to enjoy this bad weather a little longer. I want to enjoy my sin a little longer. Not realizing that they are freezing to death. They won't make those few steps to get back to the fold. Maybe there's somebody here today. You're just a few steps away from the truth, from the church, from the fold of God. Maybe you're just four steps away. But then again, maybe you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Then you're just three steps away. Then again, maybe you're ready to commit your life to God, to repent of your sins and to live for Him and listen and heed His voice. Well, friend, you're just two steps away. Would you be willing to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you're one step away. Make that last step and gain salvation before it's too late. If you have obeyed the gospel, come back to Him. He's standing, He's calling for you. He'll do anything in His power to bring you back, even bring trial to your life, to wake you up. But He's not going to force you. He's not going to hogtie you. You're not a hog. You're a sheep. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming back to the faith. You got to do it yourself. Won't you take those few steps while we stand and while we sing?